right.
Good morning, everybody. Hey, this is kind of strange, awkward, and weird. If you're a germaphobe, you're probably not going to appreciate it. I needed water, and I just found a bottle of water that was already half drinking, drunk. Hey, man, you got to do what you got to do. So if you guys are grossed out by that, I do apologize. Was that yours? Oh, you're bringing... Wow. He's the only guy that could reach over and stick it in without getting up here. Hey, so this week we're continuing our series called Love Handles. And so how fitting, obviously, with yesterday being Valentine's, that we continue a series about love and dating and relationships and all of that stuff. If you've missed any of it up to this point, what we have talked about, we talked the first week about how love should be a triangle, and God is obviously at the top in the center of that triangle, and we're at, you know, either corner, or what kind of, that's just a basic triangle, right? If you start getting weird with what are the obtuse and, I don't know, all those things that we've probably long forgotten, hopefully, right? Right. Good. So that's what we talked about the first week, is just how that God should be at the center and the top of every relationship. It should be our priority. And what's beautiful about that is that it's so beneficial to you and the other person if that's the case, because if God is at the center and he's your priority, then the things that God does in our hearts, it is directly beneficial to the person. Like, God loves us, therefore we love other people. God gives us peace so we can be peaceful with other people. God gives us patience so we can be patient with other people. So it's just, it's mutually beneficial if we live our lives like that and do our relationships like that. And last week, we kind of defined what love is. Remember, what is love? Remix. I was waiting for the disco ball to drop, but it just didn't happen. Way to miss the cue, guys. Way to miss the cue. And so we just define what love is, and kind of the best way to define what something is sometimes is by defining what it's not. And we talked about how there's a lot of counterfeit versions of love. Like, some people think love is lust. Some people think love is infatuation. And it's none of those things. What was really cool, I'd use the analogy how, I don't know that this is fully true, but somebody told me it was true, so I'm just going with it, right? I mean, it says it on the internet. It's got to be true. You hear the quote from Abraham Lincoln? Everything on the internet's true. Chronologically, something's not working here, right? And so anyway, it was a lady that had worked at a bank, so I assume that she's telling me the truth. I don't think she would lie to me about it. But she said that when she started working at the bank, they didn't show her what real money looked like. They showed her what fake money looked like. And she could determine what the real thing was by what the real thing wasn't, right? Counterfeit. And then we heard a kind of an idea this week about how one of the other steps to determine if something is counterfeit. Have you guys ever paid with a 20 or a 100? You guys big balling, right? And you give them the money, what do? They hold it up to the light. I don't know. God's word is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. Poetic in the heat, people. Poetic in the heat. So that's what we talked about last week. And then this week, what we're going to talk about is, this is kind of a random and interesting, I think it's interesting, title. And I'll make sense of it all in the end. What we're going to talk about is take it to the bank. You ever heard that expression? Somebody says, and you could take that to the bank. Give me some money and I'll take it to the bank, right? And so that's what we're going to talk about. And it's really a principle. It's all hinging and predicated on a principle that doesn't get a lot of attention. It's not very appreciated in the culture that we live in. But unfortunately for us, if we want to pass, we don't get one, because there's a lot to say about it in the Bible. And the principle is honor. If you want your relationships to be successful, healthy, God-honoring, then they have to have honor in them. And so what's really funny about that is, like I said, you don't find a whole lot of emphasis on this in relationships in the world, right? We kind of live in a world where people thrive on tearing other people down as opposed to building other people up. We live in a world that thrives on cynicism and negativity. So negative, right? Negative. Like, people are just, it's so much easier to find the faults in people and the flaws in people than it is to find the good in people. And we just kind of gravitate toward that. And so what we're going to talk about is, that may be the way that things are, but that doesn't mean that you get a pass to go live your life like that, because, I don't know, there's these things in this book called the Bible that we just believe to be true that says that we don't get a pass like that. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, don't conform yourself to the pattern of this world. The way that the things are in the world doesn't necessarily mean that you get to go that route, right? Like your mama said, if everybody else was jumping off a bridge, would you jump to? And you're smart aleck, you. How many of you did that? Stupid. So stupid, right? But that's the way that we kind of react. But we don't get a pass. We don't get to conform ourselves to the pattern of the world. But then it says, but you need to be renewed or transformed by renewing your mind. And then you can prove what God's perfect and pleasing will is. Like, you get to see what God's will is, not by following the pattern of the world, but by renewing your mind and doing the things that he wants you to do. So it doesn't really matter what the condition is in society. We have a different set of standards to live by. And one of those standards is honor. Now, what's funny is that you even hear people in church say things like this. Maybe you've heard this. I've heard people say this. And it kind of sounds spiritual, but it's just idiotic. Like, there's a fine line between spiritual and stupid, and they crossed it, right? They say things like, I honor God. I don't have to honor people. Have you heard, something like that? Anything along those lines? I'm going to work it. I'm going to twerk it. Let's go. If you honor, that's what's so funny to me. It's like, I don't know, read the Bible since you're so spiritual and you want to honor God, because it says to the greatest commandment in all of the Bible is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's funny how they're interconnected. Like, and Jesus, I'm sorry, in 1 John, the guy that wrote 1 John, because he had, I don't know, we've got a lot of Johns around here, so we started giving them like John names. We've got 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and now we have the Gospel of John. So if you show up, you're going to be the revelation of John. I don't know. We're running out of options here. And so it's funny, in 1 John it says, how can you say that you love God who you can't see if you don't love your neighbor who you do see? Funny to me how that works. So it's just, they're spiritual and they're stupid and they stepped over the line, my opinion. I'm going to be very kind today, by the way. We don't get a pass just because that's the way that it is. In several instances, like I said, we're called to live contrary to the pattern of the world. The way that we are called to live is a life of love toward each other. Like we looked at last week. You remember 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. And you have to say it like that every time you say it. Every time you say it from now on, you're gonna say, hey, I was reading 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. I wish I had one of those like really manly. But it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says that love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others. And so just kind of the logical, following the logical sequence of assumptions here, I think that seems like a really clever way to say what I'm trying to say, right? The logical sequence of assumptions is that if it doesn't dishonor people, then it does honor people, right? If love doesn't dishonor, then it does honor. You can fill in the blanks. It's okay. I know a lot of you guys are white. You don't have a lot of soul, but you figure it out. You'll figure it out. It's all good. Let's clap. We'll prove it. We don't have a lot of soul in real. Yeah. Don't do it. I don't want to embarrass you. It's okay. But so here's the deal. If love doesn't dishonor, that means that it does honor. And so we're supposed to live a life of love and honor toward each other. And you can take that to the bank. And I'll just keep that phrase running through your heads. So this is what the definition of honor is according to old Webster, right? The guy that wrote the dictionary. How do you get that gig? Right in the dictionary. Like, did he make up the definitions and say, hey, this is what this means? According to me, and everybody else in the world has to follow. Pretty good gig. According to Webster, it says that honor is high respect or esteem. That's good, but I don't think that fully kind of captures and encapsulates all that honor is. And so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to unpack what honor is and also how we apply it, because if you just have knowledge and you don't have application, you're wasting your time. You can think about that for a second. I know there's a lot to it. You know what the difference between knowledge and wisdom is? You guys, we've said this before. Knowledge is knowing what to do. Wisdom is actually doing what you know to do. And so this morning, man, we don't want to just know what honor is. We want to know what it is and do something with it. Because when we leave, if we're not changed and we don't change the way that we live our lives, then this is a huge waste of time and money, right? We need to be different when we live our lives throughout the week. It's church is not Sunday, church is Monday, church is Tuesday, church is Wednesday, because you to church. Hey, Romans chapter 12, verse 10. That was a nice little segue, right? Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it says this. It says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. And we could probably just stop right there and leave and know that we've all got a lot of work to do, right? And it's interesting that love and honor are so closely connected, and they're used kind of in the same breath. It says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. So like I said, we're going to kind of unpack that, what it looks like, what it is, and how we apply it to our lives. And if you're like me, how many of you guys like alliteration? Like you like things that kind of like attention, attitude, aggression, right? I'm thinking of things. Have you guys watched we watched what's the name of the movie with the Mad Hatter? Alice in Wonderland. Here we go. And he was like, I'm thinking of things that start with the letter M. And he's like names 400 things that start. I was like, man, that's impressive. And so I've got three A's, just so it's a start, right? Honor is attention. Honor is attention. And I'll make sense of all this stuff. So y'all just bear with me. If I say something that doesn't make sense, give me a second to explain what it is that I'm trying to say, right? In order for honor to be in a relationship, it takes a great deal of devotion and attention. Because here's the deal. And man, can we just stop this? I know you guys don't do it. Can we stop it with other people in the world, right? How many times have you gone to a restaurant to eat and you just want to walk up to a table of four and slap their phones out of their hands or down their throats because they're hungry, right? I mean, it's just it's unbelievable. Like, why? What are you doing? Why waste your time going out to eat with a bunch of people if all you're going to do is bury your head in your phone and look at Facebook, which is stupid? In order for honor to be in a relationship, it takes a great deal of devotion and attention. One version of Romans chapter 12, verse 10, the one that we read, it says that be devoted to one another in love. One version says be devoted to one another in affection. And the word affection, I'll probably butcher the actual pronunciation. The Greek word is like philostergos. Everybody's like, yeah, that sounds good. Just go with it. It's P-H-I-L-O-S-T-O-R-G-O-S. Your guess is as good as mine. And the word philostergos, this is what it means. It says, it's loving affection, prone to love, loving tenderly. The primary use of the word is the reciprocal tenderness of parents and children. Right? Like the way that a father loves a son or a mother loves a son and daughter. You see what I'm saying? Like the respect and love that should be reciprocal in a father, son, mother, daughter, all of those kind of relationships, a parental relationship. Like you go all the way back to the Old Testament, it says to honor your father and mother, right? It's kind of the same concept. And so what I was thinking about that is, how many of you guys, you have kids? We have any people that have kids in the room? All right, how many of you guys want to have kids one day? All right, yeah. Here's the thing about kids. When you have kids, your life changes forever. Like Shelly and I, we were so naive when we adopted. We got our two kids, and we're thinking they're going to be supplemental to our lives. We're going to keep doing the things that we love to do, and we're going to kind of live our lives, and they're just going to kind of come alongside of us, and it's going to be awesome, and, you know, just very little attention and devotion. Not that we wouldn't love them and we would do great things with them. They wreck your life, man. You got to change your whole schedule. You don't get to stay up like you used to because you got to get up butt early to take them to school, and, like, they got so many extracurricular activities on, and they got to be in every single sport known to mankind. Who knew that badminton was a sport? Just, that was an exaggeration. I tend to do that sometimes. I'm channeling my inner Shelley. She exaggerates. And so, that's true. And you notice when you talk to your wife, you talk in a higher pitched voice. I said, it's true. Life lessons, man. I'm here for you. And so, children, they require a great deal of devotion and attention if you want them to turn out right. You can neglect them and not pay attention to them, but they're not going to turn out right. And so this relationship, this honor thing, this love in our relationships, they require attention if you want it to turn out right. If you want it to work, if you want it to be successful, you have to give them attention, 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 right? If you want to be somebody, if you want to go somewhere, you got to wake up and pay attention. Man, I wish I could sing, because if I could sing, I would just start wailing right now. But if I did, half the crowd would leave and the other half would be laughing hysterically. I read this article, and I'm going to reference it again in a little bit. But this is what it said about paying attention to your other. We won't call them significant. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. They're just your other at this point, right? People who give their partner the cold shoulder, deliberately ignoring the partner, responding minimally. Let me put the emphasis where it belongs, right? People who give their partner the cold shoulder, deliberately ignoring the partner or responding minimally. Somebody give me a phone. Give me a cell phone. I need a cell phone. Let's go. Look at this. Don't throw it. I won't catch it. And I'm not buying you a new one. So, like, this is kind of what this looks like. They're talking to you. Yeah. Huh? Like, you're responding, but you're responding minimally. What's really so important? Like, what is so important that the person that you care about, supposedly, that you love, supposedly, that you're supposed to be honoring, gets the second hand to this, plays second fiddle to this, right? So which one are you going to give more attention to? I mean, come on, what is so earth-shattering on Facebook or Twitter or Litter or Instasham that you can't stop what you're doing and give them some attention? Our PS4s, our Xbox Ones, our Pinterest ladies and dudes. Dudes, what's up with that? I don't know. Somehow or another, I ended up on Pinterest. Kaylee, she's over Motown, signed me up for Pinterest somehow. I have no idea. I don't even know how to get on to cancel it. So if you think I'm on Pinterest, I'm not. If you are, that's your thing. You need to stop, but it's your thing. Okay, this article. People who give their partner the cold shoulder, deliberately ignoring the partner or responding minimally, damage the relationship by making their partner feel worthless and invisible, as if they're not there, not valued. Like, dude, I wish I would have written this on my own. This is research. This organization, not even Christian research. This is a research company that researched what makes couples work and what tears couples apart, and this was one of their findings. Interesting. Like you've heard us say so many times, and we say it on a regular basis, love is not a feeling, love is not an emotion, love is a choice. You choose to love. You choose to give your attention. You choose not to be distracted by this, that, or the other. Things that, man, if we're just honest, if we're being honest with ourselves and honest with each other, which honesty in church always seems like a good idea, right? If we're being honest, we're talking about things that don't even matter, man. You're talking about practice. You're talking about practice, man. I'm talking about the game. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're talking about practice, stupid things, things that don't even matter, and I'm talking about the game, your other, your significant other, your spouse, this person that you love and care about, and you're talking about practice? If you haven't seen that Allen Iverson interview, you got to go watch it so everything I just said makes sense, right? Otherwise, I look like an idiot. So it's like we just have to stop being so busy. And that is the most overplayed word in the United States, Estados Unidos, right? Busy. Are you really busy? Because this is what I know about most people. People that work 50 hours a week really work about 25 hours a week. Right? Like, we're so busy. And college students, you get a pass. Like, especially you guys that go to Laterno, you guys work your butts off. I do know that to be true. But we're so busy, and we're not really as busy. We make ourselves busier than we need to be or we should be. That's another thing for another time, right? I've got a friend. This was such a cool story. It's kind of convicting to me, because I'm not there yet, right? I'm not at this level. So when his wife gets home, if he's already home, when his wife gets home, he stops what he's doing. It doesn't matter what he's doing. He stops what he's doing. He stands up, and he goes and greets his wife. That's honor. That's giving them the attention that they deserve. Or, like we're going to look at in a minute, they may not even deserve it. But we get to choose to give it anyway. If we want healthy relationships, if we want honor, then we have to pay attention. If we want to be somebody, can you come sing that real quick? Come on, man. Wow, what a letdown. So that's the first one. Honor is attention. The second one is this. Honor is attitude. And attitude reflects leadership, captain. Wow. Watch movies, people. Jeez. Hold that thought. Ian, you brought me a drink, but I've only got one hand, cuz. Hello? You're just staring at me. What's up with that? Honor is attitude. Honor is attitude. And like we talked about last week, this is just kind of another dynamic of healthy and God-honoring relationships. For whatever reason, we have a tendency to have the worst attitude toward the people that we should have the best attitude toward. Like, man, have you been in Walmart and you see children who have a bad attitude with their mother? And I'm like, bro, you know you ain't even here without her. Do you realize, my mom always said, I brought you into this world, I can take you out of this world. That's kind of all I needed, right? I need to understand that, I got it, check. And so for whatever reason, we tend to have the worst attitude with the people that we should have the best attitude with. And maybe it's the whole familiarity breeds contempt. Like when we're around people sometimes too much, we don't appreciate them to the level that we should. Not an excuse, it is not an excuse. And so if we want honor, if we want love, then we need to have attitude, the right attitude in our relationship. So this article that I was telling you about, let me read another excerpt from it. And this one This one will cut to the heart. It says, contempt, they have found, is the number one factor that tears couples apart. Contempt, bad attitudes, focusing on the wrong thing, is the number one factor that tears couples apart. People who are focused on criticizing their partners miss a whopping 50% of positive things that their partners are doing, and they see negativity when it's not even there. And so they watched these people over the course of, I think it was several days, they had them at this, I don't know, like a camp or a retreat or something, and they would watch them. And when the partner did something that was good, and they were so focused on the negative and so contemptuous, they wouldn't even notice the good things that they did, and they would find bad things when bad things weren't even really there because they had the wrong attitude. Kindness, on the other hand, glues couples together. I don't know, man. It's funny to me, like, all of this research is late. You know, it's late breaking news, right? And it's, like, going to change the world. And it's been in the Bible for a couple thousand years. Like, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Anyway, kindness, on the other hand, glues couples together. Research independent from theirs has shown that kindness, along with emotional stability, is the most important predictor of satisfaction and stability in a marriage. I need to read that again. You can give me a yes or no. If you got it, say no. If you need me to read it again, say yes. Yes, okay, good. Research independent from there says that kindness is the most important predictor of satisfaction and stability in a marriage. You want to make it work? Be kind to each other. I love Ephesians chapter 4. It says, be kind and affectionate to one another, honoring each other, showing love to each other. Be kind to each other, and you can make it work. Kindness makes each partner feel cared for, understood, and validated. Feel loved. And this is the downside to that. This is unbelievable. This will rock your world, I hope. Part your hair. Blow your skirt up. Something. People who treat their partners with contempt and criticize them not only kill the love in the relationship, but they also kill the partner's ability to fight off viruses and cancer. That's unbelievable. And, you know, I think, again, let's go back a few thousand years. We have the power of life and death in our tongues. The words that you say, and I'm not talking about French kissing, okay? You guys, bunch of dirty weirdos. Anyway, we have the power of life and death in our tongue. You can speak life into your relationship, into your other, into your partner, or you can speak death. You can kill them with your words. Literally. They can't even, you tear them down so much that they're less likely to fight off a virus, a sickness, or a cancer. Like a physical, actual, real, I'm not using that as a metaphor, like the real thing. But kindness helps us to overcome. And gosh, man, you go, again, going back, like laughter is like medicine. Being kind to people helps them deal with things. I don't know. This Bible thing is really seeming to work out for us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says this. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. There's another version that says that to have the same attitude as Jesus. Have the same mindset as Jesus in your relationships with one another. And that could go, we could go 300 different ways with that, but we're just going to focus on one aspect of it. I'm leaning. You ever do that? Like you're almost going to fall, but you try to play it off like you're cool. That's not what just happened, but I'm asking if you ever did. So one attitude or one perspective or aspect of Jesus' attitude towards us is that he doesn't see us like we see us. And that's a good thing, right? For you, that would have been a moment for you just to kind of jump up around the room and like dance and ooh, ooh. That's pretty spiritual. I don't know if you knew that or not. Jesus sees us differently than we see ourselves. And honor is very much like that. Honor is not getting caught up on who somebody is, right? It's not getting caught up on what they've done or their failures or their flaws or their imperfections. Honor is seeing who somebody is without stumbling over who they're not. I hope that you guys aren't. You know what is what's funny to me? Like, I like when people are like, yeah, man, woo! Makes you feel good, kind of validated as a person and a preacher, I don't know. And you guys, a lot of times, y'all look at me like, right? I get a lot of that. I understand. We all come from different backgrounds, and it's all good. But you know what's been funny about the Love Handle series is like, it hasn't been like the hoorah response that I enjoy, but it's been a lot of slapping your neighbor when we, I'm like, oh, that must be your significant other, right? Or just your other. He's been downgraded because of the series. So honor is very much like having this attitude towards each other that sees them not for who they are or what they've done or their flaws or their imperfections. It's seeing who they can be. Man, there's a leadership principle that we hear about all the time. It's calling the potential out in people. Like, you see the good in them. And you go back to the we talked about last week, 1 Corinthians 13, love always hopes. It sees the good. It doesn't always see the negative. It doesn't expect them to fail because that's what they always do. Right? We have such a bend to expect people to do the wrong things, and we're mistrustful, and maybe you've got reasons to be, but love always hopes. Doesn't sometimes hope, doesn't hope on Tuesdays, doesn't hope when it feels like it. It always hopes. You got to see the good in people and expect them to get where they need to be, not necessarily where they're at. Honor elevates. And this is the thing. A lot of people, they talk down to their other, their significant other. We'll just call them what they are, the other, right? The others. We're going to do a series called The Others. Sounds like a scary movie. Oh, it is. Better late than never, right? That's what I always say. So honor, this is what honor does. Honor doesn't speak down. Honor speaks up. And again, talking about how we've got the power of life and death in our tongues. You know what faith is? Like we just came out of a series called Faith, and you know, the greatest descriptor of faith is Romans or Hebrews chapter 11. It says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Like, you hope that it's here, but it's probably right here at this point, but you keep hoping for it to be somewhere else. And if you want it to get to where you want it to get to, then you got to honor up. You got to speak up. You got to call things that are not as though they were. Romans chapter 4, verse 17, it talks about Abraham, and it says that Abraham, do you guys know the story of Abraham? Abraham was old, like he was in his 90s, didn't have any chitlins. Those are children. White people. I love white people. I guess I'm white. I guess it makes sense. That was funny. It was a joke. Don't you hate the people that have to explain their jokes? And you guys are making me explain my jokes. Come on. And so Abraham was old, and God had promised him that he would be a father of many nations. And he was old. And this was before the little blue pill came out. Do the math or science or whatever subject that would be. Health, anatomy. Anyway, I don't know where we're going with this. Abraham was promised to be a father of many nations, but he was old. And so the expectation of that happening, it was like, man, that can't really happen. It's anatomically, physiologically impossible for that to happen. And so when in talking of Abraham, it says that he called things that were not as though they were. And if you want to do this with your relationships, hey, you know what? If he's a deadbeat, don't call him a deadbeat. Any moron can point out the obvious. Right? Doesn't take much of an IQ to point out the obvious. Instead of calling him a deadbeat and complaining to all your girlfriends about how stupid your husband is, why don't you honor him? Why don't you find the good things that he does and point out the good things instead of always focusing on the negative things that they do? Because this is what's so funny about that to me. You married him. Right? I mean, you married the dude. And so if he's a moron and he's stupid and he's dumb and he can't do anything right, you married him. I don't know. Honor up. Speak up. Elevate who they are by the way that you talk to them. And the thing, man, I heard a preaching, teaching one time on this, and it was talking about guys, how inside of every guy is a prince and a punk. And the one that comes out is the one that you speak to. Ooh. Inside of her, this one's original, might get me in some trouble. Inside of every woman is a beauty. And a beast. Beast. And the one that comes out, you guys are so dirty. The one that comes out is the one that you speak to. And man, I just believe that we have the power to elevate. As a matter of fact, I believe that the level of honor in our relationships to a great degree, man, I'm so excited, I can't even say what I'm trying to say. The level of honor that we have in our relationships to a great degree determines the character of the person that we're in a relationship with. That's a mouthful, but here's the deal. The way that you honor them, the way that you talk to them, the way that you talk about them determines to a great degree who it is that they become. There's this I don't know, somewhat maybe well-known principle in leadership called influence. And you influence who they are by how you talk to them, by the attitude that you have with them. And Jesus always saw the best in us. He always saw the potential that we had. Dude, we were messed up while we were yet sinners. While we were still messed up, while we were hopeless, Jesus came and died on the cross for us. Like Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it's so good. And so don't focus on who they're not. Focus on who it is that they can be. Speak to the prince, not to the punk. Speak to the beauty, not the beast. So I'm not putting emphasis there on purpose. It's just I get caught up sometimes. Liar, right? The last one is this. Honor is attention. Honor is attitude. And the last one, this may seem strange at first, but it's honor is aggression. And I'll make sense of this. I know I do a lot of those where it doesn't make sense. It probably still doesn't make sense when we're done, but in my mind, it makes sense. So that's all that really matters, I guess. Like I said, it may sound strange at first, but how many of you guys have seen relationships where there's just entirely too much aggression? Like they're just fighting and bickering and arguing constantly. Just stop. Stop, stop. If you're not married, if you're dating, or you're like talking, because apparently there's a distinction between the two, right? And I know how that works, because talking means that you can talk to more than one person, but dating means it has to be exclusive. I understand. Been there, done that. Shelly got me a t-shirt. She did. Anyway, where were we going with, oh yeah, these relationships. So if you're dating and there's this level of aggression, like you just constantly bicker and argue and fight and it's contemptuous, just stop, just quit, stop. Don't even waste your time. Because you know what? It doesn't get easier when you get married because you can't go home to your mom's house. You gotta live with them, right? Same house, they throw things. Just kidding, I'm absolutely kidding. You guys have no sense of humor today. Man, I thought, you know, I'm killing it up here, slaying it. Crushed it, and you guys are like, ugh. I mean, not even like a double laugh, not even a, ugh. It's just, ugh. I think one way, aggression, do you realize that aggression can be a good thing if it's channeled properly? Jesus was very aggressive at times. You read the story about how Jesus walked into the temple and started flipping over tables and whipping people. I'm like, that's my Jesus. Right? I get excited about that. I like the calm, cool Jesus too, but I like the fiery one. That one's fun. Because maybe it's just a personality preference. At any rate, where do we go from here? Aggression can be a good thing if it's channeled properly. And let's make sense of this. This is a phrase that could possibly change your life. It could change your relationships. Stop fighting in your relationships. Start fighting for your relationships. If you want it to work, you're going to have to fight for it. Because here's the deal. This man, we've said this a gajillion times. Like every relationship is going to have conflict. It's going to happen. You know, hey, princess, fairy tales aren't real. Right? They're not real. Cinderella's fake. And if you want to talk about it, I mean, Cinderella had the crappiest life in the world. If we want to talk about how awesome fairy tales are, because they're not, even though they're not real. I don't know. I'll stop. I have too much details on Cinderella and Disney princesses. Thanks a lot, daughter. You're going to have conflict. You're going to face difficult situations. And so rather than fighting with each other about it, fight for each other about it. Fight through it together. Stop turning. Man, I am the worst. Maybe, I don't know, you may be worse. I was just trying to deflect some of the attention. Like, I'm bad about making my point. I have this it's going all the way back to the song that we sang about Jesus being our advocate. I wanted to be a lawyer when I was in school. We were in debate, and it was like, and I was average, fair to middling. I was good. I went to state, but what? No, I didn't. I went to district. I got hosed at district, though. I've got the judge's score sheet to prove it. See, I can argue the fact that it didn't happen like I thought it should happen, right? And so I'm very good at making my point, but you don't have to make a point. You have to make a difference, right? Stop trying to make a point. Make a difference. Give up your right to be right, because being right sometimes can still be wrong. There's so much in there. You guys are going to have to go back and listen to the podcast, because I can tell that there's so much that you're not absorbing at all. I understand. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3-4. This lays it out for us. It says this: do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. Stop fighting in your relationships. Start fighting for your relationships. Start fighting for your other. Give up your right to be right. Don't look out for your own selfish ambitions or your vain conceit, but rather look to the other person, their needs, the things that, man, if we would just do that, if we would look at the things that our other, the other person in your life needs, the things that they need, the non-negotiables, and we would focus on those instead of the things that we want or we need. We put our wants ahead of the needs of other people sometimes, and that's just garbage. Man, I'm going to preach this again next week, and it's going to be so good. I heard about a pastor one time that preached the same sermon 4 times in a row. And finally, after the 4th week, everybody's like, Pastor, what is going on, bro? And they're like, his response to them was, as soon as you start doing what I'm talking about, I'll stop preaching the sermon. So if I show up next week and we preach this, it's going, you know what's up. Anyway, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. And specifically, those of us in relationships or considering relationships, or you will be in a relationship at one point, this is a great place for you to start. Have that. Don't have the selfish ambition. Don't be all about you. Look to the interests of the other person. And obviously, we believe in balance and making that stuff work. Go back and listen to the other 2 podcasts, and it'll all make sense. Shameless plug, right? So we're going to wrap up. The title of the message was Take It to the Bank, right? And so it was funny, kind of when I was preparing for this, and I knew I was going to be talking about honor, I typed in honor. How many of you guys look at the thesaurus? Anybody look at the thesaurus? Thank you. 1 guy. 2. Oh, it's the Laterno kids. They don't have a choice. So I'm weird. I'll read a dictionary for fun. It's entertaining. I look at the thesaurus for, like, you know, synonyms, words that are similar to the word that I'm looking at. And so I was looking up the word honor and all the definitions and all, because there's, you know, a noun use of the word, a verb use of the word, and variations even within that. So then I was looking at, like, ways that it can be used in a phrase. And one of the ways that it can be used in a phrase is that if you write a check from your bank, the bank has the option to honor the check or not honor the check. And you know why they do that? They do that based on what's in your account, right? So you can't get anything out of it that you haven't put into it. And so with our relationships, if you want honor in your relationships, you want love in your relationships, you want respect in your relationships, you want it to be successful, you're not going to get that out of it if you haven't put that into it. And you can take that to the bank. Ooh. You guys are so white. I love you so much. You have no idea. You have no idea how much I enjoy being a part of Motion. I hope, we're going to pray in a minute, and we're going to pray that as we leave this week, that we'll make right decisions, that we'll honor each other, and everything that we talked about in the series so far, that it's not just, we're not just hearers of God's word, but we're doers of God's word. Because if we leave and nothing changes, then why are we even here, right? Like, something's got to change. But backing up, I love being a part of Motion. I love hearing stories and seeing people's lives being changed because of what it is that we talk about, and most importantly, what it is that God is doing in our lives. So I love you guys. Let me pray for us, and we'll announce a few things. God, we love you so much. God, we are so thankful for your love for us. God, that we even know what love is by the way that you lived your life and gave your life for us, that you laid down your life for us to show us what love is. And God, what a perfect example of what love should be in our relationships. The same way that you laid down your life, we should lay down our lives, our preferences, our right to be right for the sake of the people that we're in relationships with. God, I thank you that you have given us the truth of your word to guide us, to lead us, and to help us to have relationships that honor you. When we leave, God, don't let this just be something that we heard about on Sunday, but let it be something that we take with us on Monday and Tuesday. Let it change the way we live our lives. God, we love you, and we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen.